Save a little more this month. Chime checking accounts have features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp, Bank NA, or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
And this episode is also brought to you by ACG Walmart Automation. As so many of you continue to implement the things that we teach you guys on the Millionaire Mindsets podcast to grow your active income, we want to take this time to remind you how you can grow your passive income by six figures with ACG Walmart Automation. They are offering a 10% discount to anyone who signs up via the podcast, and most of the clients are seeing multiple five-figure months within the first 180 days. You can reach out to Dawson if you're interested at official_DawsonGant to schedule a call, or you can listen to episode 121 for more information.
Something. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper, I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later, in the conversation. We strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments. And sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
So going into our next sponsor, this episode is also sponsored by My Official Cryptocurrency Guide. That's right, guys. On May 24th, I'm officially releasing my cryptocurrency guide. This is for beginners, for everybody that's been DMing me about how to get into crypto, where can they start. I'm officially releasing my crypto guide on May 24th. I'm going over all things on how to buy, which platforms to use, how to protect your crypto or ledgers and stuff like that, how to pay taxes, good coins I think you should invest in long term. I'm going over everything you need to get started with crypto. It's packed, jam-packed with info, and the link will be in the description of the podcast. So if you're interested in getting the guide and pre-ordering it today, you can go to the link in the podcast description and you can get started with making money in crypto today. Episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, back with my co-host, the lovely Deanna King. What's up?
What's up? How's everybody?
I'm good. You talking about everybody. It's just being
I know. Right. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you. But getting into this episode, today we have a very, very special episode, as I always say, but with a really dope person. We linked up with Jasmine and like 2019 at B's yacht party in Miami. Shout out to B's. And we've been locked in ever since. She's doing a lot of dope things. And she's a product designer, developer, blogger, YouTuber, all that good stuff. She had to give out a lot of game on this episode. So welcome to the show, Jasmine. We extremely excited to have you on.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah. I feel like this is well overdue.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
I think so. I think we haven't really like linked like we should and since that party, so it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
But so, you know, we're making up for old times. You know, we're gonna get it right.
Facts. So, like, getting right to it though. So, for the people who may not be too familiar with you, they might be under a rock, been sleeping under a rock. They might not heard of you yet. Do you mind just giving like a quick background on yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Jasmine. Obviously, most people from Twitter know me as 247pix, but I'm a product designer by day at a few different startups. And a lot of people know that I live in a van technically, and I've been just trying to basically travel around the world doing kind of whatever I want. And I recently came up with an app. I do YouTube, doing like travel things, but I do a lot of random things, but for the most part, I'm a techie that lives in a van. Simple as it is.
That's fun. So we do, you see, you just can't say all that. It's a lot we got to touch on. So I'm trying to even figure out where to start.
She gave y'all the simple, pretty version, but we're going to dive into it.
So like, I guess we could start with tech. So like with tech, like how did that happen? How did you get started?
Yeah, so for me, like I've always been a techie. I think since like I was a kid, like my mom would always say, like I didn't ask for dolls and stuff when I was younger. I asked for computers and cameras and I used to take things apart. That was just kind of my thing. And I was always a creative as well. So luckily somehow like those two things stuck like throughout life. And so I went to school at Arizona State for digital culture, art and graphic information technology, which is really, when it comes down to it, a bunch of different ways to combine art and tech that most people don't think about. And then I started my master's at the University of Michigan in computer science. And I didn't finish because it was kind of boring and I figured I could learn better on my own, which is kind of what I'd done. And like post-graduation, like everyone in college knew me as a graphic designer. That's kind of just what I did in college. But I realized like, it wasn't very technical and it was more subjective, which isn't what I'm into. So I taught myself, like right after I graduated that summer, I taught myself like product design through like YouTube University, random courses and all of that. And then by the end of the summer, I had a nice paying job in product design, which is what I still do now. But tech has just always been my thing. People know, like I used to stream, but I had like this massive, probably unnecessary setup of a bunch of computers. And that's just been my thing since I was younger.
That's very interesting.
Something I want to ask you, because it's a pretty common thing, and I think that's important to what's going on in today's world. But you said that you taught yourself product design specifically from YouTube and just other resources. So when it came time for you to apply for a product design position, how did you actually showcase like your capabilities or experience with product design without technically having a previous position or education in that field?
Right. So yeah, so for me, I guess being kind of like an analytical person, when I see apps, like even before I was a product designer, when I see apps or websites that like were weird, like I would notice it. And throughout my like time of learning, I was also like using that time not to learn, but to also create my own portfolio. So by the end of the summer, not only did I kind of learn A to Z, but I also had a really nice portfolio of like redoing existing company apps and websites, or like coming up with brand new ones that no one had thought of. And that's what I tell people all the time, like consults, like your portfolio is everything. And while I do have like somewhat of a technical background, it was never in product design, which can be specific to that, but your soft skills, like I'm a graphic designer. I used to do like phone calls for people all day for Apple, and using those skills of like understanding people's problems when it comes down to it is what product design is. You understand people's problems and you're coming up with solutions to fix them. And so I think for me, it was having a nice portfolio. It didn't have like a bunch of projects in it, but it had good ones. And I already had like creative designs in it, and people enjoy that I could also do graphic design. So I had multiple skills, but I think when it came down to it, like the questions that they ask you in interviews are a lot of times like problem solving. Like if this was an issue, what would be your thought process to getting to it? And a lot of times people just think, let's make a sign up page and a few cute pages. And that's more to me, like UI design or graphic design. But when you're an analytical thinker, you come up with whole journeys and a bunch of different ways to solve problems instead of one that just looks cute. And that's why I got into product design, because graphic design was very much, if the person thinks it looks cute and it doesn't really make sense, but it looks nice, that's what they're happy with. But product design, like you actually have to put a lot of thought and reasoning behind the things that you do. So I felt like I was using the technical side of my brain and the creative. So I think that's why I enjoy it so much, because I'm both.
Interesting. And I want to ask you this, because I noticed you said you went to school, and then you said, I think you said like after school you start taking like courses and stuff like that. So like knowing what you know now, and like where you at now, would you go the same route you went, like going to college and then like all that stuff?
Yeah, I think for me, I genuinely, like, I'm not like most people, but I genuinely enjoyed college. And it wasn't for the social parts of it. Like, I met a lot of great people, but I think I found like 2 degrees that fit me perfectly. So the all the things that I did learn, while they aren't technically being used in my job, they're things that I could put into literally a lot of other careers. Like, I learned the main parts of coding in school. And I could program robots and I could do a lot of weird things that, so if I wanted to not be a product designer and go into another field, like I'm very like much capable. And I think a lot of people, like for me, school, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it wasn't like stressful because I genuinely enjoyed the classes that I took because it, the degrees that I chose were very much like choose these classes and figure out how they align to these degrees. So I learned a lot of things that I wanted to, like game development. That's why I'm still into video games now. Like I'm able to build all those things if I wanted. And so the skills that I got from school, while it's not my actual career, are very still much useful. And so obviously there's different ways to go about it. And I probably could have been smarter when it comes to like, you know, student loans and stuff. But honestly, it was worth it for me.
Excellent.
I have a question for you. I know the common notion behind like, seeing people in the tech industry is that tech people are extremely smart. Like you got to be a genius to be able to do coding or anything tech related. Do you think like that's necessarily true, or do you think the average person could start learning tech knowledge and grasp the concept and be successful at their job?
Yeah, I think like you said, it's something that people are always going back and forth on. And I think it's important to decipher, like, it's something that I think a lot of people can learn, but it's also not meant for everyone. So like my sister, for example, she just started, she's more from a medical background, but she just started like taking coding courses and she genuinely enjoys it. And she's been like learning it, but she's never been like that technical of a person. I think like it's a skill like people can learn, but I don't think it's meant for everyone. Like for me, I don't want to code all day. Like I would be miserable. And people just see like, oh, it's a tech bag if you code all day, but you'll be miserable. And I think there's somehow you have to find that balance or it's not going to be worth it. But I do think like coding, and while coding isn't the only way to get into tech, and there's a lot of non-technical degrees to become a tech person and to get into these high paying careers, I think it's something everyone can do, but I don't think it's something everyone should do.
That makes sense. And so as far as getting gigs for like that are like high paying, like what are some like tips that you can share, like getting in the door with like a startup to making like decent money?
Yeah, so for me, I've worked at a couple larger companies, but for me, I just don't like them. I enjoy startups, one, and I think that's how I've grown so quickly in my career. So from the time I graduated to getting that first job at the end of the summer, I was senior level in 3 years. And I work at multiple startups now, but for me, when you work in startups, it's you get to wear multiple hats and they pay well because they're looking for the best, but they're also just looking for work. And so I grew really fast in my career. And I think for people, like, I don't know, it may be like controversial, but a lot of people go straight for like Facebook and the bigger companies. When the startups, especially when you're looking like into the future, they're building these things that that are kind of like future-proof. Like they're building things that most people haven't heard of. And because they're working fast-paced and you're kind of wearing a bunch of hats, I have PM experience and I haven't technically been a PM, but I've been offered roles as a PM. I just don't want to do all the meetings. But I think leveraging startups and not just going for the big names is important, especially when you're starting out. And then for me as a design person, just having a solid portfolio. And that is what gets you, honestly, as a product designer, having a solid portfolio will get you a lot further than a nice resume. But you know, a lot of people, when they hear tech, they just automatically assume you have to be a software engineer or go into cybersecurity, when there's so many different ways to get into tech without having to do technical things if that's not your thing. But there's also the technical things that can be interesting. So I think first, instead of just scheduling consults with people to say, where do I start? You should do your own research and learning all the different types of tech careers. So that when you do use your money and your time and other people's times to do these consults, you're going in with valid questions and like not just saying in a generic sense, what should I do to start? Because there's so many different ways to get into tech and a lot of them aren't like well known. And so unless you're following like these people on tech Twitter, you won't know. And then at the same time, there's still those people following them and they just assume let's get a bunch of certs when I don't have any certs. I don't have any like for UX, for any of those things. And it's not necessary. And so people are wasting time and money by doing all these things without doing their research first.
Wow. That's the first time, you're probably the first person I've met who said they don't have any certs or working in tech. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't have any certs. I didn't do the traditional, like for product design, I didn't go to boot camps. And I personally say like, I know everyone can't learn on their own. So boot camps aren't like bad. I would say don't go into super amount of debt doing them because some people learn more with structure. I'm better on my own. But yeah, I didn't get any of my jobs by having certs in anything. So
without having certs and things of that nature, what would you say is the best way to make yourself really stand out as a key like candidate for the position, or you know, make your package stronger than the others?
Yeah, so I guess it's different for each type of role in tech. So I'll speak as a product designer, but so if you are into UX design, product design, if you have a portfolio, don't just have one that shows a bunch of pretty screens. You have to be able to show that you have thoughts and processes behind them. So fully explaining your journey, where it came from, this is the problem. And these are these, even if they're like ugly sketches, you throw those in there and say, I started here. And these are the reasons that I got to the finish line. But having those honestly and breaking down projects, because I've seen a lot of people when I do consults, their portfolio for UX design is really just a bunch of pretty screens. And when like I've been like as a senior level, I've done the interview process, interviewing people, those things don't stand out. Like the nice screens are nice to look at, but anyone can do that. There has to be a reason behind what you do. And I think that's like in most jobs in general. So like for IT people, cybersecurity people, it's probably a little different, their process of getting in, but as a UX designer, as a person that's creative, and I think the whole point of it is you're creative with like a logical creative, and being able to explain your thought processes. And like I said, I used to work at Apple as an at-home advisor. So I would sit on the phone and have to help people fix their computers and their phones without ever seeing them. And to be able to do that successfully, I feel like you have to understand people. Like you can go ahead and give them the answer right away, but if you understand people and like their thought processes, I could answer those questions a lot easier, a lot better. And then for my first part of my career, I was using that job as like leverage, saying I can understand people and I'm more of a logical thinker than just straight to the point.
Besides that, like key communication skills and problem solving skills, are there any other skills you think people should really hone in when being in the tech space?
Soft skills go a long way. Like people, obviously the technical skills themselves are important. And like I've said before, like knowing how to code is not required at all as a product designer, but it's very helpful. Like, so when I'm in meetings with engineers and they're all talking in their quote unquote language, I can fully understand it. And so if they come back with a problem, I am able to like give actionable solutions because I know how code works. I know the technical side of it. And since I have this kind of like PM experience without being a PM per se, like being able to break down the products that I build into like actionable pieces as a PM would, those are all things like I kind of learned on the job, but they're always like a number of different courses that you can take. And I think when people are exploring different technical careers and they start to look at like job descriptions and just like different roles in general, you'll see a lot of similarities in what they ask for. So while certain jobs obviously ask for specific technical skills, the things that they ask for a lot are being able to communicate and knowing like basic things. And while you don't use all those things in every single job, I think like leveraging your soft skills is the biggest thing you can do, especially when you're in these interviews at startups. Like my first one, I think I got lucky to get, but he knew like I could communicate well and I understand problems. And the actual design things and the processes you can learn on the job. Like I can teach you that. But to be a good person, to be able to think, that's not something that people can teach you. You just have to kind of know.
Okay, makes sense. That's amazing too. And I wanted to get into Let's Connect. This is something I really want to.
Before you transition into that, I just wanted to answer one more question just on the tech career side of things. And I know you talked about you work two positions in tech right now, correct? Three. So I just want you to dive into like, how is that even possible to be working three different tech positions? And like, what is that like for you?
Yeah, so I work as a product designer at three different startups. And my first one that I've had for like over a year now is very chill. Like it's project based and it's at a very small startup. I think they're like less than 10 of us total, but it's very project based. So they tell me I have like to do this or do that, and they tell you a time to do it by. So I can work, you know, when I have time to do it. And I literally, since I've got that job, I've had maybe like two meetings every week, and now it's like more like one. So it's super easy. And I think that's why I went for more jobs. And I just started that earlier this year. So I don't like doing the interview process because as designers, sometimes they can be super long and a bunch of different steps. So I was doing like a bunch of jobs at once and I got a bunch of different offer letters. And I think it's important that you do your research on companies. So I was looking up companies and the reviews from each of them, where they say like you don't have a work-life balance and they say like it's very time consuming and all that. Like I take all that into account because like I said, like we know I live in a van and I'm traveling. So I still want to enjoy my life, but I just enjoy money. So I decided to take up some new jobs. But the companies that some of the ones I saw were like, you don't have any work-life management balance and the management is like not great. Like those things I take into account. So the two jobs that I have now, I actually got like, not at the exact same time, but pretty close. And one of them has become chill, almost like the first one. It's very project-based. And I've said it in a tweet before, like I work smart, not hard. So if they were all like a normal amount of work, I wouldn't do it because I have so much other stuff going on, but they're both pretty chill. And I enjoy the fact that I have a lot of autonomy and like control over what I do. So like my voice is heard in the job, in the work that I do, but I also, because I'm a senior level at them, I enjoy the fact that like one of the projects I'm working on will be on a bunch of different restaurant apps at the end of the year, just to be able to say that I was the only one that did that. That for me is fulfilling. So, but I think the biggest thing is time management. Like technically I work 7 to 3 just cause I'm a morning person. And I set boundaries. Like I literally work 7 to 3. And if I have like at nighttime, I'm working on building my app or whatever. If I have other time, I'll get ahead. So like sometimes on Sundays I can do a week worth of work on a Sunday if I'm just heads down. And then that's how I can do kind of whatever I want during the week. But I pretty much set boundaries and I stick to them. And only one of my jobs does like time tracking. In a sense, you really just like write down what you do. But I think time management is important, but also like we're adults. And so I said something before in a tweet, like I work in tech, I make 6 figures at each job, and then I have unlimited vacation and I live in a van. And that was like crazy for people to hear, but it's reality for me. So while I do have unlimited vacation, I do work multiple jobs. So I don't just take off a month every month, you know, or 2 weeks every month. Like I get my shit done and then I move forward with, you know, life, but I still enjoy life. And if it ever got to a point where it was like, I felt like the job was stressing me out, when I'm very much a chill person, I wouldn't be working three of them.
Mm. That's,
and I love like that you said what's really important is setting boundaries, especially with your job. Because I see it like so often with people where it's like they're letting their jobs take complete advantage of them to the point where they're sick, like they're stressed out, they have no work-life balance, like no free time, personal time. And at the end of the day, like you said, like this is our lives. Like you only get one life. This is your only shot at it. Like don't spend your entire life letting a job stress you out or have you, you know, working crazy hours 24/7. Yeah, so Zay, you
can
go ahead and
Right. Can I finally go now, Dion?
You can go. Damn. Can go. Do you? So I know they want to hear about the app.
No, we're not going to the app. We're going to the band first. So speaking of, she mentioned it a couple of times, it's something we got to speak on is the van, like living in a van. So like, this is very intriguing to me. I know it's intriguing to other people too. So like, what made you want to do that? Cause that's not something most people would be like, yeah, I'm gonna live in a van, just drive around the country. Like, what made you?
Yeah.
Like I'm about to do this.
So I first heard about it, I think, like in college, and at the time I lived in Arizona, so it was like not a thing. And then I was like, post college, I'm gonna take a break from learning and working, and I'm gonna just go travel the country. But then like right after, I basically went into corporate, but it's just something like it's always been in the back of my mind. And then 2020 happened in quarantine. And I was just like, I started seeing like them pop up more often. And it was like people were losing their jobs and they were like, I can't afford to finish this build. Or it's like, I'm losing my job, so I'm gonna go live in a van. And for me, it was like, I luckily enough never lost a job or anything during quarantine, but I was just like, I'm sitting at home all day and I'm not doing anything. So I started going down this rabbit hole of like van videos again. And then me being a very spontaneous person, I started looking at vans, and then I saw the one that I have like at a great price at the dealership that was like local, and it had less than 20,000 miles and it was a great price. So I was just like, I'm gonna just go for it because I had a backyard. And so I learned how to use power tools. I was very useless when it came to all that before. And I tell people all the time, like the only experience I had before that was like IKEA furniture. Like I couldn't do anything else. And I built out my van by myself in 2 months, but it's just been like a freeing experience. So like I did a road trip, I think in 2018 around the country by myself in an SUV, the car I had at the time. And I drove from San Francisco where I was at to Chicago, to Michigan, to Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, and then back to San Francisco all by myself. And for me, it was just a very freeing feeling. Like I didn't have a destination. I think at that time I had got laid off one of my jobs. And then, so they cut me a check and I just had free time. So I'm just like, I'm going to go for it. And then my grandma got sick. So I was more so like, I don't have anything else to do. I'm just going to leave. And it was kind of like one of the best feelings I've had. And when I was younger, my aunt lived in California, Arizona, and we lived in Michigan. So my mom would drive across the country. Like, and that was before we could drive. She would drive across country. And I think for me, it's just stuck. And she's been enjoying this, like, too. But it's just a very freeing feeling, like, especially now I don't have a house to come back to or rent to pay. And I make all this money. It's like, I'm just going to enjoy the country while we can, because the last year has taught us, like, you never know what's going to happen with anything. So take advantage of it.
And now, I mean, and as everybody knows, one of the biggest expenses most people have is living in a home, paying rent, stuff like that. So to cut out that expense, I'm pretty sure that saves you a lot of money as well.
Yeah.
But like everybody that's listening to this, I would advise y'all to go subscribe to Jasmine YouTube channel, because she documents the stuff and to see it. And she's a great editor. Like it's dope. She got the drones and all that stuff. I'll be watching. It's dope. I'm like, man, this shit dope. Right. So like that is interesting to me. But so like, what is it like working, like how do you maintain all this stuff, like working with taking three different positions, like driving across the country in a van, and like how, like this shit sounds crazy. Like how are you able to balance all this?
So my job's basically, as long as I have, like for right now, some of them are like going back and forth, but right now they're all remote. And as long as I have Wi-Fi, I'm good. And there's a lot of like van people that don't just constantly drive. I think because I'm new and my goal is to hit every national park this year. But a lot of times, like the first 2 weeks of the year, I was literally just sitting on the beach in San Diego. Like I wasn't really paying for gas. I wasn't paying for rent, obviously. I was just sitting there in my chair on the beach, and that's what I'll probably get back to. But for me, I think I spend a lot of time, like, I'm on meetings, and then I'm working while I'm on those meetings. And then, like, once I'm done for what I consider to be done for the day, I go enjoy the rest of the time. But for a lot of people, there's like, and it's crazy to think that, like, now that I'm in this community, I see it more often. I've seen more people that look like me, and there's people doing the same things. Even though there's a lot of people that are like entrepreneurs doing this, there's actually a lot of people that are like doing not regular 9-to-5s, because I have a couple of Wi-Fi hotspots and I tend to stay in cities. So I tend to be like, always have great service. And like, I'm on one right now in a park. So like, while we do this, I'm in a park right now. But I think it's just, I set the time of like 7 to 3, like these are working hours. And then outside of that, it's just like everyone else. I live my life doing what I want. But I pretty much try to, because I break my projects down in my head by day, I can get all the work I need to do done in those hours.
That's crazy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, something I know that we always preach is that, especially as you're growing up, you need sufficient alone time to really find yourself and like really grow into the person that you want to be. Do you feel like being on this journey, like doing the whole van life and taking this route of doing it, has helped you in that process?
I kind of go back and forth, because I've always kind of been like an introvert and to myself as a person. And so I was like thinking at one point, I don't know if this has helped that or if that's a good thing, because I was always like a solo person. Like I can hang around people, but for the most part, I keep to myself. And I think that's why this is freeing to me. And when I lived in Seattle, I didn't know anyone. I just moved there because it was a good job. I went to work and came home. And then I moved to Austin, where all my friends are. And it was hard to socialize with the friends I've known and had since middle school. So I think that's why I do this. You'll see me like by myself for a while, and then I try to be like social, just so I don't get to the point where it's like too far gone into like my own space. But I definitely, that's one of my biggest boundaries I set. Like, I know how I am and like the space that I require for myself. Like, I make sure I get it. But I also don't want to venture out too far into like being by myself.
So, one more question.
Go ahead.
One more question for you. Especially kind of thinking from like a safety standpoint, what tips would you give anyone who's thinking about doing this and one of their biggest concerns might be safety or security?
Yeah. So there's different, like, this question comes up a lot. And so for me, I don't know if it's weird to say, but like, I don't scare easily. Like, I'm not a social person, and people kind of think like maybe I'm scared of people. I just don't deal with people, but like, I'm very much aware of my surroundings wherever I am. And so like my van, I have a camera in it, and I have a Ring alarm like you would have in a house. So like when the door is open, I get alerts. I have motion detection and all of that. And a lot of people don't have that either. You just have some people have certain types of weapons or whatever defense mechanism you choose. But for me, it's like, it can be a little sketchy sometimes, like when you're going from state to state because of the different rules. But for me, I'm just very much aware of my surroundings and just kind of how I am as a person. Like, if something is uncomfortable or sketchy, or I even doubt it a little, I just leave. And my van, my dog is just me and my dog. And she is like her own guard dog in her own. So like when someone's too close to the van, she does this like sniff thing. So only I can hear it. But if someone were to touch the door is when she barks, and people, because she's like a big black dog, people are scared of her. So she's been like I haven't had a sketchy situation, but people are kind of like taken back looking at her. But for the most part, I don't put myself into situations that are sketchy, but you can't always control that. And so you have to have backup plans and like safety. Like, if you just look at my van, it doesn't look like it in here, but there's different places where I have things that would help you out.
You know, it looks extremely cozy. Like,
yeah, it looks like, you know, a nice little girly van, but it's well protected. So yeah,
that's pretty cool. And is this something that you plan on doing like long term, or are you just like going with the flow until like you don't want to do it no more?
I feel like I'm somewhere in between. Like, I really enjoy this. I feel like I want to, maybe at the end of the year, like, I'm paying off everything this year. Like, I've already paid off all my like consumer debt and all that. My van will be paid off probably next month. And that's really like rent free for real. But like student loans and all that, I'm not waiting for Biden or anything. I'm just going to pay them off. And I'm trying to buy land at the end of this year to like kind of develop this end of this year or next year into something more. So like RV parks, I think are very cool and very profitable if you do them in the right places. And then like, I want to build like my own home on one. So like that's this still. And then I always will have my van to just leave if I want, but somewhere like stable is the plan. But I think I personally think I could do this for a long time. There's some changes maybe in my van I would do, but I could do this for a long time. But it's also like, I would like to have somewhere I could just go to if I wanted that was stable.
So what do you do as far as food? Like, do you just like stop at like restaurants or you just like, how did that work?
Yeah. So I don't cook like a normal person. Like I don't, that's not my thing. That was one of the things I said I would learn in quarantine, but this came first. So that's where I am. But I have like a camper stove kind of thing. So like I have air fryer. I have everything that you could have in a house. And I have a fridge and a freezer. So I have everything a house has and I can cook like the light things. Like I don't do full meals. But usually I eat out or I like prepare meals like ahead. So I don't have to cook all the time. Cause I don't like it. So, but yeah, I have like, even when I was in a house, like people say all the time, how do you cook or how do you eat? Like, I think one, living in Arizona, it was too hot. Like I just don't eat as much as most people. But I also just like when I was at my house, I didn't cook regularly on the stove. I didn't do any of that. So it's really the same for me. I don't know if like most people that cook a lot would feel the same way, but like, I didn't have the traditional like kitchen setup like a lot of man people did because I knew I wouldn't use it.
This like I said, this is very interesting because it's like,
yeah,
like I didn't even know it was a community of people that did this. Cause, you know, typically mm-hmm. when you find out about somebody living in a van, it's not usually because they have a high six-figure paying job and like they got the freedom to do that. It's usually because they like down and out and they don't have any choice to live in the van. You know what I'm saying? So
I've had that situation already. Like I was sitting on the beach and like the door was open. So some lady just walked by and I guess she assumed I was like homeless or something. I don't know. But we learned in that, like don't make assumptions about people because I make way more than she does. But like, I don't know. I think it kind of teaches you, like, you can't make assumptions about people because there's other people that do this. And the thing is, some of these people build out these vans and they cost like 100,000 plus. Mine didn't cost that much. But there's people that live in these that cost like over $100,000, you know? So I think like, for me, not only has just been just like a freeing experience, but it's taught you like to not make assumptions about people. And then I've met so many people being that I'm like, a little antisocial, but mostly introverted. I've been going to like van events, meeting people I probably would have never talked to that have been like super chill and helpful. And most of the time people would have judged them or their situations, but it's been amazing. And I think a little bit like it changes my perspective. But yeah, like looking at this, I wouldn't assume that I worked in tech or I did well. I mean, obviously I paid for this myself, but you wouldn't assume I was doing so well in life. And I had the situation where a lady walked up and assumed I was basically homeless. Like I just built this out with the last of my money, you know, and that was it. But I don't know. I think it's been real like eye opening, especially since I've met so many people from all over the country doing it different ways.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely believe it because when you come up in certain environments, a certain way, it's like, you know, you get accustomed to stuff. You're not used to seeing someone living in the, I know like back mm-hmm. home, like, if you would think somebody went crazy, they was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna live in the van. I'm making all this money and I'm gonna live in the van. You'd be like, what? Like in Chicago, yeah. You'd be like, man, what, dude, tripping. Like, what you mean you're gonna live in the van? But that's dope to me. Like that's you really living like a free lifestyle, like doing whatever you want, going wherever you want. You know, that's dope to me.
You notice like when you look up van life, you see a bunch of like people that don't look like me or look like us.
Yep.
It's literally quite the opposite. And just last weekend, I was at like a Black Nomads event at a Black owned RV park in Georgia. And so, I think that was the most like Black people I've seen in one space, all in RVs and vans. Some of them still had cars, but like, I've never seen so many Black people in one space. And it was like, it was amazing to see, but they're out there. I've seen a lot of them in RVs, but there's a lot of vans. Like it's amazing to see. And I think that's how I feel like in tech too. Like once you get into a place where you see a bunch of people that look like you, it feels more normal, even though it's not normal.
Right.
But yeah, that was the most Black people I've seen in this, but I'm definitely not, I'm used to being the only Black person.
Wow, that's right. You got anything regarding the band life, D?
Yeah, one last thing. And I know recently you just got featured on, was it one or two different platforms that are really big for like van life? So what was that like getting discovered or highlighted like so early on in a journey?
Yeah, I think a couple of them, like a couple of people noticed me like while I was still building, like I wasn't even on the road yet. And I actually got a few more this month. Like I've been getting recognized by big brands that have like millions of followers, and I don't know how they find me, but it's, for me, it's like I worry at first because I feel like this is weird to say, but like I think being famous and all that is like not ideal for me at all. Like it sounds terrible, but I think it's been amazing to be put on this like platform to share. And then I get comments like, this is so great and inspiring to see other Black people doing this, because that was some things a lot of people were worried about. So like when I was driving from Georgia back here, I went through Alabama and they still have Confederate flags up. And that's something that like scares a lot of people. But just for me, it's just being put on this platform to show people like it's we out here doing it and it's okay to do it. It's been like worth it. But yeah, even like this month, being that it's Pride and that band things are still popular in the summer, I have even bigger ones, platforms reaching out to me that from my YouTube or just from my Instagram. A lot of them came from just my Instagram that I wouldn't have expected to even know I exist. So it's been great.
Wow, that's amazing. And now we can finally get into Let's Connect. And this is something, you know, I've been waiting to talk on this, you know what I'm saying? You was holding me up for a while. I'm like, damn, dude, I'm trying to get to this. I'm trying to get to the app, you feel me? But, on a serious note though, first, I want to say congrats. This is a huge deal. And it's very dope. And secondly, I want to say, so for the people that's listening, this may be their first time hearing the Let's Connect. Like, what is it exactly?
Yeah. So, Let's Connect is an app. Like, the quick way to say it is an app to help grow and connect other Black professionals and Black businesses. But for me, it's just like a social media app for Black people to celebrate their wins, you know, to actually be celebrated and to feel like bring back like genuine conversations, which I think social media has lost. And with all that's going on right now, I think there's a lot of people want to talk about, but on these other platforms, they feel like you can't really say what you want to say, especially in 140 characters. But like a few years ago, I made Codeable Coders, which was to help kids in underrepresented neighborhoods learn to code. I like seeing Black people win. Like Issa said, like I'm rooting for everybody Black. And so because I know technical things, I do what I can to try to help other people be on.
That's amazing. And I seen the videos you posted and I'm like, man, this is for the people that's listening, y'all better go download this app. It's available. So like it's so many resources, like really extremely valuable resources that you go and learn a bunch of stuff on. And I'm pretty sure like any fields you're in, profession you're in, it can help you. That's the dope thing that I really liked about it.
Yeah, so I say like Black professionals and Black businesses, and it's not catered directly to like entrepreneurs or people with 9-to-5s or any specific type of professional. It's Black people, because we're all doing different things. And I think what really brought it out was LLC Twitter, quote unquote, sometimes has like mixed reviews, but when really they're like changing lives every day. And tech Twitter is what, like I was in tech before, but like it was amazing to be surrounded by other Black people being successful and doing the things that I wanted to do that I was in, and being able to see them like every single day. And I think that's what really inspired this app. Like LLC Twitter, tech Twitter, like there's always a back and forth, but then at the end of the day, they like changing lives. And the thing is, Twitter is a huge pool of people from everywhere. And so if we can get it centralized into one place, because a lot of times people drop these gems that are hard to find later on, like this is going to have them all in one place. So like, instead of being in this big pool of all of Twitter, we're all on the connect.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're exactly right. That's why I never, like you said, LLC Twitter, tech Twitter, they can get a lot of flack. But me, I never, like, it never fazed me. I never tripped. Just because, like, when I'm out in the real world, in my DMs, I can't tell you how many people come up to me or DM me saying, man, I follow this certain person on Twitter, or I heard this podcast episode and I did this, I made 100,000, I made 200,000. Like, I ain't had no money. I did this. I'm like, damn, it's really like impacting people. So it's like, I could care less what other people say, because I know it's a lot of people. And I'm only one person that's being told this. I can't imagine everybody else that's in that community that's getting those same messages, those same people walking up. So, like, I don't care what, I don't really care what anybody could say, because I know the impact that's really having in real time.
Right. And you know, that tweet that I had that went, like, I don't never have viral tweets. And then I had that one where I said, like, 100K is only 274. Yeah, oh, man. I man, never had to go viral, and then it just went crazy off of that. but it was wild to see, like, the reactions to them. Like, it was crazy that a lot of the negativity came from people that look like me. Like you had to be doing this or that, like, or I was too young to be making that much. When it's like, in reality, I make well over 100K, and it was literally math. Like, that's what it is. But it was so wild to me that it was people. Most of the negativity came from people that look like me. You know, like, and if they were in tech Twitter, or they were like even followed some of those people, they would know, like, it's not normal or it's not regular, but it's definitely possible. And so it came across very much like small-minded. And so I think a lot of the times, if we can put ourselves into spaces surrounding ourselves with like more successful people, then we don't have to be the downfall of like telling people it's not possible, or you must be doing illegal things to be able to make 100K.
Exactly. I think so many people look at things from a negative perspective. I think that because it was obvious that you were saying it from like an aspirational, as a saying something like this is something that's possible for anybody, like you can do this because it's only $274 a day. Like, even with when I read it, I'm like, I never thought that's a great perspective to break. Like, $274 in a day is not. I'm not trying to sound arrogant or anything like that. I'm really not. Please forgive me if people think like I'm coming off air. But that's not a lot of money. Like, $274, it's a way you could figure out how I could make $274 every day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, like, when you put it in, that's, you sometimes you got to break things down to the most simplest forms. So you can be like, oh, okay, now I know what I can do to get $274 a day.
Like, and it's like, a lot of people took it as like, you have to do it in your 9-to-5. Like, I always get stuff like, what about holidays? Like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, like, and what about Monday through Friday? Like, your money stops on Friday and starts again on Monday. Like, it didn't make sense to me why people were coming up with all these solutions. And the thing also, part of it was like everyone always says, multiple sources of income. Those $50 add up, you know, that $100 here and there add up. And people were like, well, I would have to work this many hours, or I could only do it because I only work Monday to Friday. Like, if your money stops Monday through Friday, then that's your problem. That's not mine, you know? So it was very eye-opening to see. And I think, like I said, the fact that so much of the negativity came from people that looked like me was just wild to me.
That is wild. Crazy. But the good part about it is, what I've seen a lot of people tweeting like, man, did you make your $274 today?
Yeah,
I made $274 today. Like, I've seen a lot of people talking about this. So it's like, I think you helped a lot of people's perspective when it comes to money. And just on another note, I think a big key with money is just putting it in a proper perspective. So many people got like some kind of out of reach ideas. They see it in the wrong way, but breaking it down like that, I think that's crazy. Like, everybody that's listening, if you could just look, if you trying to hit six figures, just think $274 a day. Just aim for that.
And I think the only part was what was getting people, but at the same time, like, I think the message was received by the people that should have received it. Like, if you didn't receive it, then that's your problem. But like, and there was people that were saying like, I didn't take this negatively. That's like empowering. There's people like that I used to be, like I said, in the streaming community that took it positively. Like, you don't have to work every day. Some days you make more, some days you make less, but that's literally math. Like, I broke it down in the next tweet. That's literally math. And then I'm not here to do your finances or your taxes. So,
right.
You know, like, people are like, what about taxes?
What about taxes?
Like, that's not what I'm, right. Like, that's not how this works. Like, it's so weird, but.
That's online for you. When you bring up something, people come up with all the bad parts about it. Like, damn,
right.
Like, that's the internet. That's the internet. Go ahead. Do y'all see you want to say something?
And I was gonna say, I think that shows too, people have like a habit of overcomplicating things. Like, that's such an easy concept to grasp. And then like, once you find yourself in a space where you're understanding all these different ways to make money, you understand how simple it can be. It's not hard at all. But yeah, I was just gonna say, like, you know, I think we need a major mindset shift in the community, because, you know, people need to realize it's a lot easier than you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and I understand, like, people come from certain communities and certain places where that's, like, unheard of, but we also in a day and age where it's not impossible, especially for people younger than us. There's the people older than us, like, being inspired by people younger than us. It's people making 100K in a week, in a month, that are our ages. Yep. So it's not impossible to think you could do it in a year. And that's why the app itself also is, like, it's free, you know, and the resources are there to get you the information that you need. Like, there's some courses, there'll be courses in there, but there's like books and references that people can use, but there's also YouTube channel. YouTube is free. YouTube teaches people every day how to make money. And when they see that $274, if they need to, you can break it down further. Like $50 here, $50 there. $50 is not hard to make. $100 ain't hard to make. Like, you can do that doing things for an hour, you know, and you got 24 in a day. So that's how I see it. And that's how I think some people received it. But there's other people, like you said, are just miserable and negative.
So you got 24 hours in a day. If you really want it that bad, you're going to maximize that time to the utmost. You're going to say, all right, I'm going to sleep 6, 7. And these other rest of these hours, I'm just gonna be at it, trying to figure some stuff out. Like, that's just how, if you're really serious and not just trying to complain about some shit, you're gonna figure it out. But one thing I will say though is, what do y'all? I got a question for both of y'all. Both of y'all can ask this. Like, what do y'all? Because I see like with the younger generation, like, we all young, but I mean, like, the ones that's like less younger than like 22.
You ain't young, babe. You almost 30.
If we say right.
Yo, what's our plan? Hey, I turned 28 in a couple months. She keeps talking about some, damn, you almost 30.
He be trying to throw shots at me, Jasmine. That's all that is. I'm just listening.
She can't wait for me to hit 30 so she can talk to you. But I can't wait to get 30. I can't wait to hit 40. So, but What was I saying? Yeah, I said.
You got a question.
Yeah. I said the generation that's like younger than like 22, 23. Like, when I'm realizing with them, it's like when it comes to money, they see it like totally, totally different. They don't have like no limits. Like, I'll be talking to like 19-year-olds and stuff. They be like making $10,000 in every 2 weeks at night. I'm like, what the hell? So like, are y'all seeing that as well? Because I feel like a lot of the pessimists are like the older. Yeah. Y'all see that as well?
I think it's like the generation of social media. You're seeing like YouTubers living this life, just talking about their lives, TikTokers making all this money, and they're like 19 and 18. Like, I think the generation, like, we have social media, but they have this like social media where you really can like monopolize it. Like, quite quickly and quite fast. Like, TikTokers, they're, once you like go viral, your following just shoot up.
You out of here.
And if you're smart about it, you monetize it very quickly. And then I've seen a lot of them right when, because TikTok was like questionable for a minute, like if it was sticking around, the smart ones went and created like a YouTube channel from it, like to make money off of that. Like, but I think the younger generation, they're very much like in this social media era where they know like the internet can make you money if you do it right. And we were kind of like the intro to it, and now they're like taking advantage of it.
So what is the goals for like Connect? And also, I really like the name, like how you spell it.
Yeah.
Instead of like just Connect, it's like K-I-N-N.
Yeah.
Like Connect.
Yeah. We were just talking about that.
The play on words. I love play on words.
Thank you. But yeah, so. Like right now, it's an app, social media one. And like I said, there'll be courses and the ability for people to put their own like courses on it and monetize them, obviously. But like, they'll be vetted first, like going through them and making sure they're good, because a lot of people just putting out junk and I don't put my name on anything like that. But like, I think for me, it's also like, because I do the YouTube thing and I've been like doing on this like country tour, I want to like visit some of these Black owned businesses. And I've been looking like in the last, cause I've been working on this for like a year at least. And seeing all these, like some of these sites and like product photography that some of them have and the graphic designs, like people don't have the resources or the finances to be able to like make their brand the way they envision it. And I want to help doing that. Like, I've been enjoying like seeing all these Black businesses have like amazing products, but a lot of times like little things, like it may not seem as big to the people and they may not have the resources to create them, but like product photography goes a long way. Like having a quality photo can make or break a lot of these businesses, because I've seen it like real time. Like they have a great product, but the way they're displaying it isn't how it should. Like I want those type of resources and the knowledge to be in one place that people can see it, like seeing the difference of a good picture or a bad picture. Or because I did photography for so long, that was part of one of my majors as well, like I know the tips and tricks to be able to create a nice product photo using just your phone and like some basic things that you already have in your house. Because my mom, when she retired, she took up like sewing and things, and we recently got her to open up like an Etsy store, which she has coming, and a website and all of that. But like, she's not good at taking pictures, but like from a distance, I can help her like create nice pictures so that her site stands out. Those are little things that a lot of business owners know, but don't know how to do. Like, and I want to be able to be a resource to help them. But I do want to go on like a country tour and do like videos and reviews of these places, especially like restaurants. I think that'd be fun. Just so people that I can use my platform with. I mean, it's not big, but it's not small either, to help put these other businesses on that people don't realize are in their like backyards.
And then thinking about it now, I'm like, man, you really got the perfect setup, because like mm-hmm. you in a van driving around the country mm-hmm. and with the app, like you could literally connect people, because you're going everywhere yeah. meeting all kinds of people. So I'm like, oh man, that's a play right there. I love it.
And the thing is, the app itself will also like host like virtual events and workshops. So like I can schedule events on it and like attach a Zoom link to them, and then everyone from the app can pull up and host workshops. So learning about like product photography and all this all in one space. People can host their own workshops and create like private groups. So a lot of people for like tech, for example, we're looking for more people in cybersecurity. There, you can create your own group if it doesn't already exist of people for cybersecurity, and all these people link up. And there's a regular feed, so like you can do regular quote unquote like tweets or messages like that, but then in each group there's a forum, so we have like real discussions about whether it's life or what's going on in the news, or just like specific, if you have a question and you want to get the opinions of a bunch of people in that space, you can. So I think it's opening back up the real part of conversations, because forums and discussion boards were a big like not to sound old, but like back in the day, but like forums were like a thing before like little tweets, and people had real discussions and replying in real time, you know. And I enjoyed that part of it, and I think that's why I want to bring it back.
Oh man, I love all of that. Yeah, I mean, you want to say something? You're on mute.
No, I was gonna say the same thing. Like, I just love the whole concept of it, and I think it's so amazing, and I know it's going to be a great app. And then just listening to you talking about all this, I was like, man, we should have just did this episode in person since you're in Texas right now. Like, yeah. This would have been so dope.
Oh, that would have been fire. But we got time.
We're gonna make something happen.
We gonna make something happen. Deanna, did you have any other questions?
I just had one final question, just because I know we talked about the app, but we really didn't dive into the process of making the app. So just can you give us a quick overview of what that looked like? And then like overall, do you think it's hard to build an app?
So I know like iOS development, and I actually had like developers, a team of developers build like the base of it, like the social part, because for me accessibility was important, especially in this community. So a lot of people, when they drop apps, they just drop the iOS one, but I wanted it available everywhere. So mine on launch day, Juneteenth, will be available on the web, on Android, and on iOS. And so that was the most time consuming part of it, obviously. And so like I know web development more so like all those pages I was able to build myself, but the base part of it, like the social aspect, just so it worked on every platform, had developers build for me. Because this time last year, like literally this exact time last year, I had another app that I had built myself from ground up, approved on the App Store, and I talked myself out of it, just like, because what if things go wrong, what if all these people break it, and I didn't want to be responsible for that. So now I'm just going for it. But like I built one from ground up, and it took it took a long time just because that's not my forte, but I know it. But I just wanted to make sure it was accessible to everyone and that it worked. And it was like, and that was what's important to me. And then what I took control over mostly was to get the information onto it so that it was, while it was accessible, it had the right information for everyone.
And I also want to throw in there, just from like the snippets you posted online, like it looks beautiful. The aesthetics, like the setup, it looks very easy to use. Like, it's on point. You guys are going to love it.
Yeah, it's on point. Yeah. Y'all need to go
and I have like a Black business directory where businesses can showcase their businesses. And I just recently, like in the last week, added a map. So like real time, like a map, you'll see what's close to you. But part of it, one of the webinars that I want to host myself is just like I'm going to let people host their own events and workshops and all of that. And just so, like I said, I want people to win, like you can monetize it, but I'm like going to go through the process and make sure like what you put on my app is good. But like I want to host a workshop to get people, like teaching them business basics, like the product photography thing. Like I can host all those, you create an event and then remind people to show up on that day, and whether it's free or it's paid, like the information is there for you. But yeah, I feel like, and I've been doing like my research, like I said, I've been at this, like I've had this idea for a long time, and then I really just sat down and worked on it in the last like year or so, a little over a year, I haven't seen like anything that is like this. So I've seen a lot of business directory apps or restaurant apps for Black people, but I haven't really seen a space where it's, this is the business and this is also a social place so we can teach you how to make your business better. It's more so, here's your business on display. And I haven't seen any app that does both.
See, you found the lane and you've been to go all in on this. That's amazing. And like she said, it'll be available on Apple for Android users. So go get that. The release will be on Juneteenth. That's June 19th. Y'all should already know that, but it's June 19th. It'll be officially released and it'll be available for everybody to use. And like me and Deanna said, we ain't just co-signing because she owns. It's really dope. Like it's really dope. I think y'all will love it. And did y'all have anything else that we ain't get to go over that I might have missed or forgot? No, my bad. I got something. This is my final question. I love doing scenarios. So let's say it's a young woman, young man, wherever they are. They think about getting in the tech industry. They think about following a similar path, but they don't have, let's say they don't have like the, let's just say they started from ground zero. What's the best piece of advice you could give them to get them on the right path, right journey?
So I think the first thing is like research, like, and it sounds basic to say, but like I said before, there's so many different ways to get into tech. So first is figuring out, like, I ask people, are you more so, you want to do creative things? Like if you become a software engineer, you get paid all these big bucks. Do you actually see yourself doing it 8 hours a day, almost every day of the year? But doing your research, because there's so many different things that you can do, and following the right people, like on social media, because there's so many people dropping gems for free, because I know money is always a thing for people. There's so many free resources on Twitter, on Instagram, like on Instagram, on YouTube especially, like, and not just going straight to, I want to do this because it makes a lot of money, and then you waste your money and time being miserable. And for me, because I know you made a video recently that was like fuck your passions basically, and luckily I found something I'm passionate about that makes me money. But in general, I'm just the type of person, like, I do what I have to do, but I also do what I enjoy doing. Because like I said, I've done UX development and had to code all the time and I hated it. So like design is my thing. But I also do things that I enjoy, and they also are things that make me money. So it's finding a balance. And I think a lot of people, they go straight for the money. Or they're out here like, I'm gonna make this work, when like there's other things you can do just to make sure you eat too. But I think it's finding a balance. And so me, everybody's already kind of learned from this, or if you didn't know me before, I'm doing kind of whatever I want to do. And I also do the things that I want to do that make me money, and that I can continue to do whatever I want to do. And I've been working like when I graduated, I left home. I left the place. Like I left, like, I was by myself, especially when I moved to Seattle. I didn't know anyone there. In San Francisco, I barely knew people there, but I went and I followed the money. And now I'm in a place where I can be comfortable living life, doing whatever I want. And a lot of people have to realize you got to do some soul searching, but also have to kind of do things you don't want to do at first or you're not comfortable with. And if I, like I say, I tell people all the time, if where I'm originally from is Michigan, but I spend a lot of time in Texas. If I had stayed in Texas and not left to go to Arizona and California and all that for work and school, I would not be where I am right now. So it's finding a way to, you have to start being comfortable. That's what I do the most. I moved to Seattle being the only Black person that I work with in a large company. To now I'm driving around the country doing whatever I want and still making over $250,000 a year, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And that's like, you found the, like that's the cheat code. Like you pretty much won a game when you're doing something that you're passionate about and you're making money. Cause like, I remember when I made that video, what's so funny is I got so many DMs like, well, like, what if I'm making money? I'm like, well, obviously, like maybe I should have been clear. I'm like, if you make it, I'm talking to the people that's like doing, trying to just stick to something, trying to make the NBA or become a rapper or something crazy when they've been doing this for years, they're not getting nowhere. So I'm like,
I used to be a streamer and I saw that so much. Like, it's like hard to, I'm like, I don't want to be the one to tell you, but everybody is not going to be the next ninja.
There's only one ninja. There's only one ninja.
And he been doing this for, I don't know how long. And now he obviously doing very well, but every streamer is not going to become the next ninja. And for me, when I was streaming, one, I'm not a social person. So I was doing it because I was in Seattle, but at the same time, like this is not worth my time. And people are getting too comfortable into my life. You know, I'll do YouTube. That's a little less invasive, but we all are not going to be the next ninja. And I don't want to have to sit here 4 hours a day, 8 hours a day doing something where I could make the same amount of money in an hour, you know, doing something I actually enjoy.
Exactly. Like, me and Deanna, we always tell the story of we didn't join the military because we loved it. We just joined it because we knew he was going to use it for a stepping stone. And now Deanna say I'm old now, but we at the age where we could do like what we enjoy to do just because we sacrificed and did what we didn't want to do early on in the beginning. So yeah, but that's I love everything you said though. But this is my last question. It just popped up in my head. My last one, I promise. Mm-hmm. So in this regard, it's regarding YouTube. So like you have a like very dope YouTube page. Like I love your videos or content and stuff like that. Just like, could you speak on just like building an audience on YouTube, building a platform, monetization, all that stuff?
Yeah. So like when I was streaming, a lot of times people knew like I was real about it. And I was like, I don't like streaming. I'm just here just because I don't like the social aspect of it, but people enjoyed the content. And so while I was still streaming, I was telling people, you know, follow my YouTube. It didn't have anything on it at the moment, but it was always letting them know it's coming. And then for me, I think the biggest thing and while my socials like grow the way they do is because I found my niche. Like there's not another Black tech girl in a van that you can name. There's not another one. And I know like a lot of the van people right now, there's not another one in the same kind of lane I am. But like I was a streamer. And then now I'm like traveling the country and I'm sharing it with people that have never seen these type of things. Like when I was talking about coding, when I was streaming, that was like a wild thing. Cause I was a lot of people I would be playing with were from different communities. And like, that was like what we were saying before, like they just something you never seen. But for me, I think it's the way I've grown so fast. Like, I don't know if it's not really a secret or anything. I just found my niche. Like, This is a space like you can't really find anybody else living in a van making good money and like doing tech. Like that's not a thing. And then for other people that are growing, it's like your channel, like these channel, you when you talk about things like people that usually follow you aren't used to hearing or that they're used to hearing, but now it's not just words, it's visuals. That's what gets people going. So it's like a lot of times people don't want to just read. Like people don't be reading books like they say they do. They watch videos. That's why YouTube is popular. So when you're putting out the right content, whether it's entertaining or informative, you have to get in front of the audiences that wouldn't usually like just read it. And that's what I've learned. Like I could write blogs about my travels, but they won't be as popular as the videos and being able to see it.
That's a fact. You're right about that. You got the visuals to support whatever you're saying. That's when it. I hope they ain't going over your head. Whoever listens, trying to build their platform.
That's what you hear all the time. Like when you talk about money, you talk about living a good life. People want receipts. like, and you don't have to prove it to anybody on the internet, but when you have those visuals to back it up, it ain't a lot of people can say, you know? So like, you right. talking about making money, you showing you living that life, and then you always got the people that are like, well, you just doing that for YouTube. I got that already off that tweet. Right. But this is like the life I live, and I've worked very hard to get to it, so I'm enjoying it, and I show it off, you know? So yeah. That's what it is.
You just, like I said, I hope they ain't gonna be out here for the people that's trying to build a platform. You just drop the gem, and I'm not even going to expound on it. But and wrapping up, I just want to say, me and Deanna, we really, really appreciate you taking the time to come out and just chop it up with us. Like we were saying in the beginning, it's been a minute since we really didn't sit and chat it. So we really appreciate this. But before we let you go, do you mind then plugging all your stuff where people could follow you, subscribe to your channels, like everything you got, just you can plug it.
Yeah, so all my links, I put them all in one place, heyjasminej.com, but my YouTube is heyjasmine, heyjasminej, Instagram, 24/7 pics on YouTube, on Twitter, and then if you want to sign up for my app or like just to be notified about it, letsconnect.com, and it's Let's Connect on pretty much every social media too.
Letsconnect.com. I'll make sure I put the link in the description of the podcast. And that's all we have for you guys. Appreciate y'all tuning in and wrapping up. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier C. Miller. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel at Xavier Miller. And D, what's your info?
You can follow me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter Deanna S. Kent, and you can follow me on YouTube at Lessons in Life and Luxury.
And that's all we got for y'all. Appreciate y'all tuning to another episode of the Millionaire Mindset Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Now turn me up some. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper, I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later. End the conversation. Be strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments, and sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.